crazy, do the mama like crazy, and hey, mambo, don't want...
Look out for the food trucks that are coming to town in February via Eat the World DXB, and you'll see a classic Piaggio Ape van on three wheels with a two-stroke single-cylinder engine and a sign on the side that says Pizza Pilgrims. It goes at 35 miles per hour and its load capacity is 700 kilos and carries an Italian stone pizza oven which weighs 700 kilos. On a trip to London to learn about the trucks coming to Eat the World DXB with Tom Elliott, who along with his brother James started Pizza Pilgrims back in 2012. They started out selling authentic Neapolitan pizza at Berwick Street Market in Soho and now have a chain of pizzerias. Considered a street food business success story, I began by asking Tom how many pizzerias they currently have.
We've got five now, and if all goes to plan, which probably it won't, we will have another five by this time next year. And then we need to take a very, very long, hard look at ourselves. I mean, we've always been a total opportunist, and like everything that's happened to us ever has been a function of us going, oh, but we can't say no to that, surely. And then we kind of go through the door and suddenly realise we're totally out of our depth. But yeah, for whatever reason, at this exact moment, we're getting sent stuff and you're just like, you can't say no to that. So yeah, we're up for a big year, which is exciting and terrifying, but hopefully all done with the right, you know, with the right attitude, and not for kind of just pure capitalist greed, but more like, you know, this is a once in a lifetime thing. Go for it. We started 4.5 years ago on a little van in Berwick Street in Soho, which we had got by hook or by crook. I mean, there was no plan. There's never actually the first time ever, pretty much this week, we have a plan for the year ahead. We've never had a plan. It's always been fully opportunistic, like genuinely. I know it probably sounds disingenuous, but we never sat on Berwick Street Market thinking, oh, we're going to have a pizzeria. I literally saw it as a summer project to get myself out of advertising, which I hated. So I was like, if I've done something that's like not advertising, I can then use that to open other doors. But yeah, we went and did this trip. That was in late 2011. Then we got back. Then we put a pizza oven in this van that we'd driven back. I mean, we completely underestimated the trip because we didn't realise the van was literally 20 miles an hour top speed. So, you know, all the footage of us being overtaken by joggers up hills and all that kind of stuff was just fully true. So yeah, we budgeted 2 weeks to do the trip, ended up taking six, but we learnt loads about pizza and came back, put the oven in the van. And the kind of business idea, quote unquote, was to do private events. So weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, anything that would have us, we'd go and make pizza at it. And then we kind of got back and we were like, is this really a viable thing to be doing private events, when actually I think we need, if we're going to build a name for ourselves, we need like a place where we are, where people can come and try it. So that's when we started emailing the councils all over London, just being like, do you have any spaces on your markets? And just kind of stock, like, no, what's the question type response. Part of the reason why, you know, we changed our plans, I guess, is the street food thing had happened. So genuinely, when we sat down in the pub in June 2011 and we're like, oh, maybe we could start a pizza company, between that time and us getting back from the pilgrimage, which was sort of November time, I genuinely think the street food thing kind of happened in that time. So we came back and we were like, hang on a minute, like, street food is happening, there's really no one doing pizza. I think Home Slice had started like maybe the month before, so it was like, but you know, it was very much like, you know, there's loads of people doing burgers, there's loads of people doing this, loads of people doing that. No one seems to be doing pizzas. And for a gloriously global and obvious food, like, this is a glaring omission. I think part of the reason for that is quite a high barrier to entry. So, like, to start a burger company, like, your spend on equipment could be, like, 500 quid on a grill, and that's all you need, basically. Whereas for a proper, like, Neapolitan pizza oven, you're looking at 10 grand. So it does change, you know, it does change that kind of entry point.
Just explain to me a little bit about the pizza, the Neapolitan pizza. So there you are, you're in Italy, you're learning about pizza, but how were you, just eating it, or were you getting, you know, were you finding the Italians open to sharing how it was made? How did it go?
We were eating a lot of it. We put on like 2.5 stone between us in 6 weeks, which is pretty glorious. But yeah, I mean, we went fully open mind. We went, to be brutally honest, not really understanding the varying types of pizza in Italy. Like, we didn't really, you know, we didn't really know that, you know, people in Venice don't necessarily make a great pizza. We just went and we were like, let's drive the whole way through the country and try as much pizza as we can. And actually, we did genuinely have that moment in Naples where you first bite into the pizza and you're like, wow, like, this is just different to anything you've ever. Kind of getting goosebumps thinking about it now. Ridiculous. But yeah, and we went to Rome after that, and you know, we tried pizza there, and we just tried pizza everywhere. But you know, that Neapolitan moment still lived with us, and that's where we went back to. We did lots of stuff around Naples as well, because obviously there's mozzarella around there, and like, you know, San Marzano tomatoes and all that. You know, just so obviously pizza is from there. So yeah, that could be a big part of it. In terms of like sharing secrets and stuff, we went back subsequently to Naples once we decided that was our place. One of the guys we'd met was this sort of semi-famous pizza chef. So we went back there and like worked with him for a week in his pizzeria and like learned stuff there. But we went to like Damicali and stuff, obviously the really famous places. And there's just a great thing about, I'm not sure if it's just Italians or just people in general, but you know, they all kind of, I think it is just Italians. They will kind of, you know, they'll look at you squarely in the eye and go, I will never tell you this recipe. It's my mother's 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 secret recipe. It'll come with me to my grave. And then you get a video camera out and they'll tell you three times. It's like, they will talk you through it. They'll show you how to do it. And so, you know, whilst there was no kind of, you know, we're not looking to steal secrets. And all of those recipes, I mean, the fact is about pizza making, like the actual recipe, that you know, what goes into that pizza, it's important. Obviously, it needs to be right, but it is weirdly, for something that's so simple, so, you know, you need someone who understands it and is watching it every single day. You can't, like, you can't just ship it. It needs to be someone who's going to, like, you know the, just instinctively know the humidity and the temperature and the feel and go, do you know what, I need more yeast today or less, or needs to be mixed for more or less. It's phenomenal. And we, you know, we have not got written down, like, this is how you make a pizza pilgrim's pizza dough. It's got to be that we employ the people who really know how to make great pizza dough. And we obviously give them the recipe and they're not allowed to like completely go AWOL or start putting olive oil or any other horror shows in it. But yeah, it's, you know, it really is something that requires real attention, which is why it's, you know, it's one of the few foods that actually has dedicated like chefs. Our pizza chefs are not interested in making Sunday roast or burgers. Or they are pizza chefs.
Just been eating it and it is delicious. I mean, the dough, can you tell us a little bit about how that's made?
Yeah, I mean, it's just super simple. Super simple and yet requires constant, like, you need to be on top of it all the time. But like, so yeah, I mean, it's just flour, water, yeast and salt. That's it. There's no other clever stuff. The recipe, you know, the recipe, quote unquote, is on our website. But, and then it's a question of proving. I mean, there's that kind of classic, like, horrendously cheesy thing of like, the extra ingredient is time, or the extra ingredient is love, which is kind of true. The hard bit about making great dough is managing it after you've mixed it and balled it, knowing when it needs to be chilled, when it needs to not be chilled, knowing when it's overproved, knowing when it's underproved. That's the art. So, yeah, it's 95% of the way to a great pizza, I would say. Maybe 85. Cheese is 10%. Easy. Easy. It's definitely 75%.
Hear more from Tom at Pizza Pilgrims when I come back, when he explains the best temperature to eat your pizza and what his plans are for taking Pizza Pilgrims to the next level. Shake 'em, baby, shake 'em, 'cause I love it when you take 'em by the pizzeria. You'll find on the Pizza Pilgrims van at Eat the World DXB in February, pizzas like marinara with a sourdough base, San Marzano tomato, garlic, oregano, olive oil, and the portobello mushroom and truffle oil bianca, bringing you authentic Neapolitan recipes. Talking to Tom Elliott, one half of the brother pair who founded the company in 2012, they moved from selling on the streets to bricks and mortar and now have a chain of pizzerias. I asked Tom what he thinks when he looks back on those early days, making and selling pizza in all weathers.
I look back at the pictures of the pizzas that we made then and go, whoa, I'm at the point now where I look at pictures of pizzas and I go, five things that could be better about that pizza, or that pizza's perfect. But yeah, I look back at pictures, I've googled it actually a couple of weeks ago. I look back at pictures from those days and go, like, you know, it could be better, but we were using all the right ingredients. We were learning, and we were very much, that was absolutely our gambit. Like, you know, we spoke to everyone. We're like, we have set out to learn this. This is not us turning up and going, here's the best pizza you've ever tried. And, you know, we did blogger events very early on where we invited everyone down and said, like, right, we're going to taste five cheeses, guys. We'd love to know which one you think is the best, because we're all learning in this together. So it was very much a kind of like, come and be part of the journey rather than like, let us tell you how amazing it is. It's where I genuinely feel that our pizzas are getting better, not worse. Like, we're constantly finding ways to improve it. You know, we're not done any kind of cost cutting or anything. We're constantly like, even 3 weeks ago, we changed our mozzarella because we thought the supplier did a better job. And it was ever so slightly more expensive, not much. But, you know, we're constantly striving to make it better rather than going, oh, okay, we can just now start like cutting away at the stuff that's not important. Because it's all important. There's not much room to hide with a pizza. It all hinges on the pizza being good. So when we first started the market, which was March 2012, I was actually still working another job. So I literally would come down in my lunch hour, do the service, and then go back to my other job. I did that for about a month and a half and then realized that for whatever reason, there was something there, that there was an interest and it was getting busier rather than quieter and all that stuff. So then I basically, right, I'm going to do the summer. So then it ended up being the three of us. So it was me and James and this guy called Louis. Louis was our first ever employee. So there were three of us doing it sort of on a day-to-day basis. And being in Soho, we just started getting booked for things that, like, you know, usually all the doors have been, you know, festival bookings sort of take place around now for next summer. We'd obviously completely missed all of that. So we kind of just assumed that we wouldn't be doing any festivals. And then we got booked for a few, and we did the Real Food Fest that summer. And we also did, I think probably the moment where I was like, wow, this really feels like we're kind of rocking this. So we did V-Fest, basically. They have a sort of festival within a festival called Loud Lounge, which is the kind of one Virgin corporate event they do a year. Awesome event. And we basically got booked to do that. And we just had, you know, we were just there and we were, you know, there's a big queue of people and we actually camped next to One Direction. And it just, you know, the pizzas looked great and the team were great. And it just, we had a system going and, you know.
One Direction looked great.
One Direction looked glorious. I'd literally never heard of them at that point, but apparently they were onto big things. I have a great picture of Baby Spice eating a pizza. You know, you've made it when that happened. And then we'd like sneak out after hours and go and watch like The Killers and The Stone Roses. And I was like, all of this works. Like, the pizzas look good. We've been paid up front. It's not raining. Everyone's beautiful. I get to watch The Stone Roses. This is great. I'm not going to go back to advertising. I think that was probably the moment. So that was like August 12th. But at that point, we still had no plan to do a pizzeria. And then I think we did Real Food Fest, which must have been end of August that year, August bank holiday. And then we did some summer event, some winter events. I think winter kind of landed and we were like still on Berwick Street Market, and all the guys who traded on Berwick Street Market, all the fruit and veg guys and stuff, used to call us The Apprentice because we were just running around like Muppets, not knowing what we were doing. I think they started to kind of come around to us when we basically traded all the way through winter and were there, and, you know, there in the snow, there in the rain. That was a big moment. But, you know, when it snows and your sales drop down by 75%, you're like, okay, this is tricky. So I think that was probably the first time that we started to go maybe a permanent place. And so we went away and we contacted... Well, it was James's godfather, actually, but we hadn't spoken to like 15 years. But he had run a big pub chain. And so we just emailed him out of the blue and said, look, what do you think? Like, do you think it's a goer? Well, you know, would you help us like understand how to get into a site? And we actually also contacted Russell from Polpo, who actually was the person who founded our site in the end. So we just contacted loads of people. And that's been the attitude of the business the whole time. Just contact people and go, look, we don't know what we're doing. You do. Would you consider? And some people go no, but 90% of people go yeah. People are flat to be asked.
And here you are, so with five and looking to open another five in the next year.
Yeah.
Your roots started on the street food. Do you still feel that even within the pizzerias?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we kind of have this, we don't have a kind of like, you know, we're from the streets, man, because I don't really know what that means. But I do think we have a kind of informality that absolutely is born of that. Everything we do is informal. The way we talk about the team is informal. The way we kind of like let people make their own decisions in the pizzerias, it's all built of street food, where it was very much like, you know, everyone's a flat structure and everyone's just like mucking in. So yeah, I genuinely believe that is still there.
Serving a pizza,
mm-hmm.
The temperature.
Yeah.
Because I always think it's interesting, people eat pizza cold, they eat it. But what do you think about, is there a temperature that you like it to be served?
I think the... if you were to look at the sort of radioactive half-life of a pizza, I would say, yeah, it absolutely is. The quality falls the fastest the second it's out of the oven, and it's falling all the time. I think the shorter you can make the time from the pizza leaving the oven to being in your mouth, the better. We always used to say that if you burn your mouth whilst eating the pizza, you know it's as good as it can be.
Be prepared as pizza pilgrims join the trucks from London at Eat the World DXB, along with trucks for the first time from Singapore and California. For more on the trucks, the food and the dates, go to my special feature page at dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today. That's it from me. Have a fabulously festive weekend and stay tuned now for The Ticket. Juliana, it's so delicious. Everybody come to fish out of my